my thing. All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, Season 2, Episode 1. We're back. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. It's been a long summer.
Very long.
But how are we feeling, Jack, to be back?
I'm feeling magnificent. How about you?
I'm feeling great, you know?
The warm weather.
We're seniors. Senior year. We live at the beach. You know, we can't complain right now. And best of all, we're back here to do Red Sea Radio on WVOF 88.5. For another full season, our senior year. So we got a lot to catch up on, right? It's been a whole summer. We even missed the end of the baseball season.
Well, we watched, but we
we missed covering it. So what we're going to do is kind of wrap up our final thoughts on the baseball season, talk a little bit about our summers and some experiences we've had, some Stags in the pros, and then we'll talk about some basketball, which is the thing we like to do the most on here. So starting off, Stags baseball, obviously historic season, you know, but where we stopped watching, or where we stopped doing our show, they had gotten to just about before the conference championship.
Yeah, we were home for
the conference championship.
I think we were here for maybe the first game of it.
Yeah, it was like right when we were about to leave. So basically, we know what happened, right? They go into the MAC playoffs. They take care of business against Manhattan, right? Close games. They made us a little nervous, you know, for a little bit, but they took care of business. Wind up losing to Canisius, and then that's where things got tricky because then they're playing in the loser's bracket. You know, they get a win against Monmouth. They then get a win against Canisius again. They go into the finals, but it was one of those, you know, you got to win two games in the same day.
You're coming from the loser's bracket, so you need to win twice while the team needs to win once.
Yeah, twice in the same day. I think it was three games in 2 days, something like that. And they ultimately fell in that first game to Ryder, who went on to be the MAC champion because of that game. And you got to give it up to Ryder.
They played really well.
Yeah, they hit really well in that game. What'd they have, like three or four home runs, something like that?
A couple.
So, you know, you got to give it up to them. We had talked about that on our show, like being worried that, you know, going into the MAC playoffs as the team that lost literally one game the entire season, it's not going to be as easy as people would think.
It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to, like, because that's when, I mean, everyone else is giving it their best shot. Because, I mean, Fairfield, the luxury, obviously, we didn't know in the moment, but in hindsight, they had the luxury of having that great resume and getting in as an at-large bid. But, like, the rest of these teams, they're playing to continue playing the rest of the year.
Yeah, like, with nothing to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
And yeah, you see a team so many times throughout a season, you know, I mean, you're bound to drop at least
one
of those.
It's baseball. You're going to lose.
Yeah, so, you know, that happened. But I believe, like, a day or two later, it was a Monday afternoon, was when, you know, the ESPN had the selection show. We were all watching.
What was our first selection show sweat? Obviously, we wanted it to be basketball at some point, but we'll take a nice baseball selection show.
And I'd never really watched the baseball selection show,
neither,
so I wasn't really sure how it worked. And obviously, they had the ESPN cameras on us, right, on the team.
Yeah.
I think they were in BCC somewhere.
They were in some room.
They were in, like, the Oakwood room or Dogwood, whatever it is, one of those up there. And, you know, you kind of get a sense that, like, maybe if they have the camera on the team, they're probably going to be one of those teams that gets in. But it went on for a while without Fairfield.
I was going to say, it was, like, the third bracket? Or I don't even know the bracket. Like, it's divided in, like, four corners, like, a basketball one, I'm guessing. It was probably, like,
there were a few teams that were also,
there were a few bubble teams that got in before
Fairfield
did. In, like, the same, what's the word? Same seed. Like, they were, like, also whatever the Fairfield was.
Like those at-large teams. And you know, I had thought for a little bit, you know, maybe we're not going to make it. And then it was awesome when they showed Fairfield on there, showed all the boys celebrating. Really cool. Like we said, like, the fact that we were here when one team made, you know, one, like, bigger team made a big tournament like that.
Made national news.
Was really cool for us, right? Like, we obviously hoped that it was basketball, and we still could be this year, our senior year, but just for that to happen was super cool. College World Series is another huge deal on TV, and for Fairfield to make it was super cool. And also, like you said, the first time that the MAC has had two teams in the College World Series at one time. So that's never been done before.
I can't imagine they get too many at-large bids like that.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, literally could never happen again. Yeah. So it's really cool. So they go into that, to the College World Series. They're in the group. They're playing Arizona State game one. That was the one where, you know, things didn't really go our way at the end.
Brutal
calls, and just some.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
just some all around, that. You know, all around just disappointing finish to that game.
Another national news play was when it went into his pocket. The ball was.
Yeah, I believe that wasn't that same game.
Was it not that game?
No. That was the game where the first game was the game where they called a hit by pitch.
Oh yeah,
it was
and it hit the bat, right?
It didn't really. Yeah. It was, but even that was national news. Like,
yeah, because it was like a big. Because I mean, people love the underdog. People are gonna root for Fairfield.
Or just those big plays. Sometimes we talk about this too. It's just like, you know, just getting like Fairfield's name out there, Fairfield Sports name out there. It's like a play like that, right? It didn't really hit him. It hit the bat. They said it hit him. You know, it cost us the game. You know, you lose the game, but like. There's some value in that.
You were part of the biggest sports news
of that day or whatever. And there's like there's value in that because even though we lost the game, you know, that play is going on SportsCenter, on Barstool,
on top 10, you know, like all that stuff.
Bleacher Report, all that stuff. And people are seeing like Fairfield, like the brand, the team. Like there is still value in those moments, even though it's unfortunate or, you know, you didn't win the game. But just for like recognition and growing like the Fairfield brand. There's definitely value in those like viral moments, even when, you know, you're not on the good side of it. But
especially with gambling, with like an underdog like that, it's like, you know, people are gonna have like some ludicrous,
especially like the Barstool guys.
Yeah, that they're gonna feed off that, or the TikTok community. I know has we have a couple of those guys that we like to watch the what's his name, Brilliantly Dumb, is that his name?
No.
The guy, he like screams about like all the bets that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what his
ad is,
his handle is, but yeah, like that. And I'll talk about that a little bit when we get to basketball too, because I feel like that's more prominent with Fairfield basketball. But that Arizona State game was tough to take. I was upset, but you know they picked themselves up. They go against Southern and they get the first win. Right? Was that the first tournament win in?
Is it their
Fairfield history or something like that?
Is it history?
Something like that.
Yeah, I'll fact check.
But it was a 6-2 win, pretty definitive game. I think we watched that game up here.
We were up here for
over
that.
The summer. And then, you know, they go on and get revenge against Arizona State. That was another big win because, you know, we felt like we deserved to beat them. And then it
was good that they got that.
The karma came back for that call. Yeah. And then obviously they rounded out with a 12-2 loss to Texas, which is just one of those games again that
yeah,
you
it's
know,
tough.
But it's you never really expect to win that, but you get a lot of eyes on you. You're playing the number 2 team in the country.
It's funny. The night of that game, I had all my friends who like all go to these different schools, like big schools that are always in Maryland and all that. And I'm like, yo, Fairfield's playing Texas in baseball tonight. We have to watch it. Like it's going to be sick. And by what the bottom of the first it was
like
7-0. The pitchers were walking guys in.
Was another issue too, is that we didn't
even
have
the pitching. Our pitchers were running to the ground. Sansone, Signor, McLaughlin, like they were overused beyond belief by that point.
And again, that's just one of those things that like you would have had to beat Texas twice, I think.
Yeah, but
anyway.
It's just cool that they played them.
Yeah, it's just a cool experience for those players. National experience, potentially even what could have helped some of those guys get drafted, you know, being on that national TV.
Especially like Guerrero, who played out of his mind for those.
Yeah, well, he played well, and also Trey pitched well in that Arizona State game, which was also nationally televised. So, again, it's just those big moments that are great for the players, great for the team, organization, for Fairfield. A lot of value in that trip, even though, you know, you go, what, 2-3? Still a lot of value in that. So, that's kind of how the season ended off. Some final tallies, you know, Fairfield, they wound up going 39-5 on the season, with, you know, 3 of those losses coming in the tournament. So that's like, you can't even really be super mad about that. But That's a 886 winning percentage. Incredible winning percentage. They went 33-1 in the regular season conference play. 971 percentage as well, which is pretty much almost perfect. As we know, they only lost one game. They were ranked up to number 23 on Baseball America. They also had that number one RPI ranking, which
for a while
was a big moment for us.
A big deal, because I mean, I feel like I'm not the biggest college baseball guy, but it seemed like when we watch ESPN broadcasts, like I remember we were watching Vandy, I think at one point last year, and they brought up the RPI with like it seems like that's a pretty valuable like ranking that they use. It's not like it's like a throwaway.
Yeah, because especially people value like analytics and all of those like
more so than whenever, more so than ever,
like computer generated numbers, and that's like essentially what that stat is. So you know people value it now, and again like yeah, even Fairfield being shown on Vandy broadcast is like a big deal, and them you know showing us as number one or whatever we were at the time. So that was very historic, and I know we took advantage of that spotlight. We gained a lot of followers. I think Fairfield baseball probably gained way more as well.
Well, we almost parlayed the exposure we got during the MAC basketball tournament straight into baseball season.
Yeah, we had good exposure for our page, right, through both of those runs, and you know Fairfield did well marketing it too.
The resume.
Yeah, the bandwagon application.
Yeah, the bandwagon.
Yeah, I thought that was great marketing, and that was. That was fun. We filled it out, even though I wouldn't say we're bandwagons.
Yeah, I would
but
say we were pretty blue blood as it gets.
But, yeah, that was fun. And then, obviously, to round it all out, you know, Justin Guerrera gets picked round 20th, 592 pick to the New York Mets, to my New York Mets.
And
then Trey McLaughlin in round 16, pick 472, also to my New York Mets. So that was very cool to see. I remember seeing their names pop up on the Twitter, like MLB Draft Tracker, and that was a really cool moment, especially when they get drafted to my favorite team. So, any final thoughts on the Fairfield baseball season?
It makes me more excited for a baseball season than I've been in a while. After like going to next year, I'm more excited than I've been ever for Fairfield baseball, so that's a plus. And I looked up Justin Guerrera's numbers. Remember, did you send me?
Yeah, no, we'll get into that. Okay. That's like actually our next segment, so you could save that. But yeah, my final thoughts too.
I'm really excited for
next year. We definitely have to call a couple games this season for baseball. I think that would be pretty fun broadcasting. And yeah, I would love to get some of them on the show. We'll talk about that later as well. So yeah. We're all in on baseball now. I remember last year we were like a little bit hesitant.
We were like 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah, we're a little hesitant to start covering it, but then we started going to the games and you know, like we always say, if the team's winning, the fans are going to be there. So very good time, very good experience. But we're going to move on now to a brand new segment here that we're going to start doing, not every week, but every once in a while, called Stags and the Pros, where we take a look at some of the Stags that are in the pros, how they're doing, give you guys an update on that. So that actually segued from Justin into this segment. So Justin Guerrera, right, so he gets drafted by the Mets. He goes to their rookie ball team. He actually since then got called up to their St. Lucie team, which is their low-A affiliate. So right now, combined with those two teams, he's hitting 340 with 55 hits, 13 home runs, 45 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .409. So, that, you know, very good numbers from him. Obviously, when a guy comes from a smaller school, sometimes you don't know how his numbers are going to translate. But I feel like baseball is one of those sports where the smaller school guys tend to do well more so
almost
than
excel,
other sports.
Almost excel.
And also, like, I feel like it's very more common for a small school guy to come up in the pros in baseball than, like, you know, the NBA NFL.
Look at the best pitcher in baseball is Jacob DeGrom and went to
was
Stetson.
A shortstop for Stetson. Yeah. So
Chris Sale, I think, was also a shortstop at one point or another too, if I'm not mistaken. Or he went to a small school at least if he did pitch there.
Yeah, so you know, Justin's doing well and you know, we wish him the best. It'd be really cool to see him keep moving up in the ranks. Potentially play around here, right? Some of the Mets affiliates are a little closer up here, not in Florida. So
maybe hold out hope. Maybe he even gets his chance to play with the big league team or maybe somewhere else.
To be Lindor's understudy.
Yeah, he could be his backup.
In 10 years, yeah. So, yeah, we wish Justin the best of luck. We're going to keep up with him. We'll keep you guys updated. And he's one of those guys that I would love to get on the show at some point this year, if possible, and just, you know, talk to him about his time last year and then also his time in, you know, minor league ball. I know guys have great stories when they play in the minors.
It's like some family. You spend so much time together.
They spend so much time together. They, you know, they sometimes, it's a grind. It's like their schedule's not easy. They're always being bussed all over the place. I know they don't eat the best food all the time. But it comes with like great stories and it makes them really close. So I'm excited to hopefully have him on. And yeah, we could talk to him about his experience. And then moving on, within this segment, we also have Trey McLaughlin, who was also drafted to the Mets in round 16. He's only appeared in 5 games so far, but he too has been called up from the rookie ball team to the St. Lucie Low-A affiliate. Through that time, through last season, actually, he only had 5 appearances. And he went 2-0 with 3 no decisions, but he pitched really well late during that stretch. Remember, he only joined the team in the MAC championship.
Yeah, he was hurt for a long, long time.
He had one really good game in the MAC championship, and then he had that one good game against Arizona State. I think that wound up being a no decision, but
I mean, that shows that really he has well. The stuff to play with, like, big school, like, guys from big schools. It's not like he's feasting on, like, poor competition.
Yeah, and you wonder
what to do against Arizona State.
You wonder how much better our team could have been with him
a full year.
Not that they even really needed to. But
yeah, I don't know if they could have gotten really much
maybe
better.
Maybe they would have went perfect, you know. But anyway, looking in on Trey's pro career, like I said, he's been called up to St. Lucie. He's 0-2 so far through 6 appearances. He has 18 strikeouts, though, through his 16.2 innings pitched. So we'll keep an eye on both of those guys, and we'll keep you guys updated so that you guys don't have to check yourself. But if you want to, you can. If you want to watch them, I'm not sure if those games stream.
I think MILB or the minor league.
Yeah.
I think all their games are free, like on the MILB app this week. I guess it's like
a thing. Maybe we'll even watch some. Maybe we'll watch some and give you guys updates. Finally, the third guy we're going to talk about in our Stags in the Pro segment. Obviously, we can't go a show without talking about Matt Turner. So
he's our shining star.
Yeah, it's really cool, Matt Turner. Has just had an absolutely incredible summer.
It's like a meteoric rise. It's like every week he's doing something. Like he outdoes himself for something. Yeah,
yeah. He outdoes himself all summer. Outdid himself, and it's just really cool for us because you know we interviewed him freshman year, right, which is 3 years ago now, and he was just a backup. And then we interviewed him in December, right, this past December, and even then, you know, he was really good for New England, but he hadn't had his first cap for USA yet. And then getting his first start for them to now being, starting in the World Cup qualifying, just right there tells you how crazy his summer has been. But to actually, look at what he's done this summer, first of all, he had the Gold Cup, which was a tournament the USA played in. They won, and he won the Golden Glove, which means he was the best goalkeeper in that tournament. He also only let one goal up in that tournament, and that one goal was a penalty. So that right there tells you, and people are expected to score penalties. So he basically didn't really let up any goals that weren't expected of him. I think he also saved a couple penalties in that tournament.
All-star game MVP.
Yeah, exactly. So
he also saved a couple penalties.
Yeah, yeah. So he wound up getting selected to the MLS All-Star team. And then, they rotate like 3 or 4 goalkeepers in. So he gets rotated in at the end. Game goes to penalties. He saved, like you said, 2, 3, something like that. And then the MLS wound up winning because of that, and he got the All-Star Game MVP, which another just incredible award for him. Probably a great moment in his career. And then he gets, it wasn't a surprise that he was on the World Cup qualifying team, but with Zach Steffen going down, he becomes the starting goalkeeper. And he played pretty well. They just played 3 games, last week, week
before?
It was
last week.
And they wound up tying 2 of them and winning the 3rd. But for the most part, Matt played really well. He had some big saves, and he didn't really make any mistakes.
He rarely does.
Yeah, he really does. One of the funniest things, right, to tell a little story about Matt, one of the funniest things is, like, I watch him play a lot now because I really enjoy watching him play, and it's cool because we, like, interviewed him a few times. You know, you feel that connection. And, you know, every time I see him, see someone attempt a penalty against him, right, I expect him to save it. And it's funny because usually when, you know, someone, when a penalty happens, the offensive player is expected to score, right?
Yeah.
And it's a surprise if the goalkeeper saves it. But for me,
it's more of a
surprise if Matt Turner doesn't save a penalty at this point. And, you know, over the summer when they played in the Gold Cup final, my high school had a watch party for him because he went to my high school. And, you know, I went to the watch party, and it was, you know, all people I played soccer with in high school. And the funniest thing was, as that game got later and later into the game, right, it went into extra time, it was still 0-0. You know, everyone there was rooting for the game to go to penalties just because they wanted Matt to be the hero. And they knew that, you know, if it went to penalties, we were probably going to win because we have Matt Turner in net.
It was to the closer.
And it was funny because when, you know, the USA scored very late in that game, people were almost like, they were cheering, but they were almost like a little disappointed that the game didn't go into penalties.
They wanted
penalties.
To see him save penalties.
Yeah, like my old high school coach was literally like disappointed because he wanted it to go to penalties so that Matt could be the hero. And, you know, but obviously can't complain with that win.
It's crazy for a goalkeeper to be that good on penalties when it's, I mean, it's almost a guessing game.
Exactly.
When playing as a goalkeeper in penalties, you have to commit basically before they even kick it.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to be that good at what.
Yeah, it proves that he really does his homework. You know, certain guys go certain ways, but he's just, you know, I don't really know. I mean, we asked him about it too in December, and he kind of just told us, you know.
Instincts.
It's instincts. It's a combination of a few different things, whether it be guessing, studying someone, looking at their run up. But, you know, only, I don't know. There's really like, it's just really incredible how well he is at saving penalties and just how well he's been playing this summer. His stock has gone crazy. The New England Revolution, which he plays for in the MLS, right now they're in first place in the East, and they're actually the best team in the league, and he's the best player on that team. So,
some say MVP?
I don't know if a goalkeeper would win MVP, but he'll probably win Goalkeeper of the Year.
It's and, like Cy Young and MVP. Yeah, it's like their
and,
own.
And they have, for MLS, they give a trophy to the team with the most points in the regular season. And right now, New England is that. So he could potentially win that. And then, obviously, they're going to go to the playoffs.
Just
so
keep adding it to the trophy case.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated with that. And then, you know, it's very, in my opinion, it's very likely that next season Matt Turner will be playing in England. Or not in England, in Europe. Anywhere in Europe. So we'll keep you posted on that. I know he told us in December that's his eventual dream, is to play in Europe. I think it's the perfect time. A lot of those guys in that USA team from the Gold Cup have transferred to Europe. So
he's just in his prime, too.
Yeah, I think he's next. So we'll see what happens there. But that's Stags in the Pros. That's our new segment. Not going to do it every week, but we'll do it every few weeks to keep you updated. Our next segment, we're going to talk about little experience that Jack and I had this summer with a team called the Connecticut Cobras. We had the pleasure and the privilege of joining them for their opening press conference of the inception of their team, and meeting with Coach Troy Bradford, who is a Fairfield alumni. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this show, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this show could tell us way more about him than we could tell you about him. So, you know, I'm sure we don't really have to say much there, but he's a Fairfield basketball legend. We had the chance to meet him before that press conference, and you know, it was fun. He's a very honest guy, very open. He was funny.
You can tell he knows what he. You also tell he knows how to coach. He knows basketball.
Yeah, he's very confident. Knows what he's talking about. But you know, we do plan to have him on this show eventually, and I think that's going to be a great episode, just because of how, you know, open he was to us when we first met him. You know, he didn't even know who we were, really, and he was telling us, you know, different things about how he felt about Fairfield basketball and his time here. But the Connecticut Cobras are the newest addition to the basketball league, a professional basketball league with teams around the country. The team is focused on playing both winning basketball and also community outreach. So community outreach is something that's very important to them, as they said in their press conference. They seek to be role models for Connecticut's youth and they actually need all of our help in achieving that. So as the season gets closer, I'm sure they will, you know, say more about what you could do to get involved with the team. But I really like how, you know, they want to be Connecticut's team. They don't want to just play in a single location.
Yeah, they want to play all around.
They want to play all around the state. That's something they stressed at the press conference. And then, as far as Coach Bradford goes in the press conference, he was very confident. You know, he talked about community outreach, but he was also quick to promise a winning team. Very confident in himself, and he seems like he knows what he's talking about. I feel like he will be a good coach.
I mean, as an AAU coach that coaches probably some of the top players in the country, he seems like he follows college basketball pretty closely, at least player-wise.
Yeah, and he was telling us about some of the players he coached.
So he know I could see he probably knows how to spot talent from a pretty far mile away.
Yeah, he was telling us about some of the guys who had went on to Iona that he coached, right? Yeah. I believe it was Gist was one of them, right?
He was saying a lot of guys that went to, say, smaller schools and transferred to these bigger schools and are now, like, difference makers at legit, like, actual basketball programs.
Yeah, so, you know, when talking about his, returning to coaching, he said this was the perfect job for him just because his family's in Connecticut, you know, his home is in Connecticut, he loves the community, so it was the perfect time for him to come back to coaching. And, as the Cobras get ready to begin their season in early 2022, we're excited to follow along. We hope you guys follow along, too, as well. Most of you that are listening are probably basketball fans, and you're probably pretty prideful about Fairfield, so... I kind of feel the same way about the Connecticut Cobras. If they're going to be the team for the community, we're excited to follow them along and work with them in the coming months. We're excited to have Coach Bradford on the show, hopefully within the coming months as well. And I really do think that's going to be a great episode. But for now, you can follow the Cobras on Twitter at @CT_Cobras and on Instagram at @ConnecticutCobras_. And we're always tweeting them all the time, too, so you can definitely find them on our page. But that was a great experience. We got to go to the press conference and meet some cool people. And for us, like...
our first, like, real, like, journalism...
Moment. Yeah, it was cool because I remember I got the DM from them. I was in, like, the American Dream Mall. And, like, I was just, like... I don't know. I was just shocked. You know, we're not, like, journal... we don't even really consider ourselves journalists. It's funny because, like... we met Justin there, right, from News 12, and we were like, yeah, we're not even journalists. And he's like, well, actually, you are. You know, you have your show.
Yeah, at that point, us in our college shirts and pants at a press conference were basically...
that was our moment, right? That was our journalism moment. So that was really cool. Shout out to Justin. He was nice. But
really nice guy.
And we might have him on the show one time, too, but... it was just cool, and, you know, we're both accounting majors, so, like, that could be... The last time we ever do something like that.
We might as well do it while we have the chance to. How many times are you going to be able to say, like, I went to a press conference for a basketball team?
Yeah, for their first
press conference.
For their, like, first, you know, introduction of them being a team, too. Yeah. So, you know, even if we never get to experience something like that again, it was a really awesome experience to do once. And we got to ask a question. I believe I asked about... you know, what Coach Bradford's message would be to Fairfield. And it was really that, you know, he needs help from both the students and the fans and the community to, you know, help along with their mission of their community outreach and just growing Connecticut, you know, closer together. And what did you ask? You had a good question.
I remember we had questions written down beforehand, and I'm pretty sure
you thought of a question on the
fly. I just, like, thought of it on the spot. I'm like, blanking a little bit.
Remember it later.
I think it was about what, after being, like, I think it was something about playing at Fairfield and how it's going to help you, a professional team maybe or something like that.
I thought your question was something totally different because you thought of
was that what I was supposed to
say? That was your original question, but whatever it was, showed some good journalism, though. Yeah. You thought of a new question on the fly, and it was a good question. But, we really enjoyed that opportunity, and, you know, whenever we get the chance to work with them again, we'll be around. So that was a great experience this summer, and we had to talk about that. Moving on for our second half of the show now, we got to talk about some Stags basketball, which is most of the people are here, right, listening. So we're already in that swing. We're already in that...
We're hyped. I told you... what was it? Whenever the schedule got released, June or July, I was like, I'm ready for Fairfield basketball.
Yeah, and we're officially in. I feel like we're officially in that like stretch now. I know it doesn't start for a couple months, but we're like,
when do they start? Like
November like 7th or something like that.
Yeah, when do they start like really practicing? Like getting like. Oh, probably. I mean, they probably already started, but I'm saying like, when does it get to like? Probably soon. Real, like, yeah. Real like a full swing.
Yeah, probably soon. So, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a look at the schedule first. So I got the schedule up here. We're opening up against Providence again. So, you know, first of all, I gotta group these two together. We're opening up against Providence and Boston College, right? November 9th, November 14th, both away. I imagine one of those will be on maybe national TV.
I have to imagine FS1 will be on Fox Sports 1 like last year.
Something like that. So those two games, right, very tough games, but to kind of talk about them a little bit, and we've kind of said this before, it's cool because both of those schools are kind of what we aspire to get to
at one point. They're measuring points. Good measuring points.
Providence, small Catholic school, Boston College, Catholic school, not really so much small anymore.
Yeah, Providence more so than Boston College.
Boston College is like the top of what we aspire, yeah. I'd say. Providence is like a little more attainable, but they're still... their sports program is still a little more dominant. But it's going to be cool to play those schools. Again, measure yourself. But like we talked about with baseball, it's really cool because it's almost a win to even be there.
Yeah, it's a win to be playing in Providence. And say you make some noise. Say they keep it close. Then you're even bigger news because it's Fairfield almost beating Providence in Providence.
and what happened last year, and this is kind of like what I said when you were talking about the Barstool guys before, what happened last year is we played Providence and we played them really well in the first half.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
people
yeah.
were tweeting about us, like, thinking, oh, is this going to be an upset, an early upset? Obviously, it didn't work out that way in the second
they lost
half.
By 40, but.
But even for them, even for that, you know, 15 minute halftime, right, for them to think, wow, like, you know, and tweet about us, think that their bets aren't going to hit because Fairfield's spoiling it or, you know, whatever it is, like they're tweeting about us on Barstool, on Bleacher Report. Supreme Cook was getting his name tweeted out
because of his name.
But like little things like that are wins for the program, even though we did wind up losing by, you know, almost 40.
Well, and also, I mean, we were lucky because the Barstool College Basketball Podcast, whatever it's called,
Bench Mob.
They had Ed Cooley, and I think even Nate Watson, the big man that for Providence. I think they were on their show like days before that game, so they were obviously going to be
rooting for them. Yeah, tomorrow. They bet on them or whatever. But
it was like good timing, like that they were all in on Providence when we played them.
Those little things are wins for the program again, and you know, playing a good half against them gets people watching, gets people noticing, you know, Supreme Cook being on national TV and then people tweeting about his name. You know, all those things are wins, even though the game goes in as a loss.
Goes awry. And, I mean, it's another, like, it's a good thing to compare to. So last year, what did they lose? By 40? I forget what the final score actually being. But, I mean, it's baby steps. You improve, you lose by 25, you lose by 30. Maybe, like, it's a good measuring bar to play a team like this every year. That's always going to be like a legit power in the Big East.
Yeah, and then you play, you know, Providence, Boston College. You're playing the two best teams you'll play all season right away. It kind of warms you up, gets you ready for the rest of the season and the rest of the out-of-conference. The out-of-conference after that goes Medgar Evans.
They play a ton of out-of-conference.
Yeah, they actually do. Medgar Evans, which is a home game at Webster Bank, November 16th, so that'll be the home opener. And then we got Sacred Heart, which I'm excited for because I don't think they've played Sacred Heart since we've been here.
Yeah, I don't think they played them
last year. It got canceled because of COVID.
And they play teams in their conference like a lot. I mean, isn't Stony Brook in Sacred Heart's conference? Or
I'm not sure.
It's like a
FDU is.
Yeah, FDU we played last year.
We play them again this year as well. But Stony Brook is after Sacred Heart, which again is another exciting chance to get revenge
because we should have won last year.
Two games we should have won that, you know, didn't go our way. That was the Caleb...
the Caleb floater.
That mishap. Yeah. And also, both of those games I feel like we should have won. So again, another revenge opportunity. And then Loyola Maryland, which is a team we've played throughout our time here. I think we've beat them in the past as well. So that's the first six games, right?
And then
my prediction for those first six out of conference... I'll give us 3-3.
I was going to say 2-4. I was going to say we beat Evans, Megar Evans, Sacred Heart, and then one of Stony Brook and Loyola.
Yeah, so that's three.
Oh, yeah, duh, that's three.
I'm the same. You know, I think we'll drop the first two games. Okay. But
I'll say 3-3.
I think we could win 3 out of 4 of those next four. At worst, I'd say 2-4.
Because, I mean, they have to be Megar Evans. I've never even heard of Megar Evans. No offense to any Megar Evans alumni that may be listening, but
I think it's in the city.
They have to be Megar Evans if they even want to, like, think about being, like, kind of good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's in the city.
At home, nonetheless, too.
Do you have their, like, prior stats?
I'm looking them up right now.
But, I don't know. Sacred Heart might be, like, a bit of a toss-up.
Well, they were playing well at the end of the year last year, I remember. They got to their conference tournament final.
Yeah, that could be one that could be, you know.
And, you know, they're always going to show up for
But I think we have to beat Stony Brook. It's still the Jay Young revenge game, and it's a revenge game from last year as well.
Okay, so I looked them up, and the first link was to an ESPN article about them, and it's from 2 years ago. It says St. Francis beat Megar Evans 122-58. So that's all the information I have on them right now.
So we should win that. Yeah, we should win that, and then I think we could pick up, you know, two more. But at worst, 2-4. You can't go worse than 2-4 in this stretch. Remember last year we didn't win any out-of-conference games? That was pretty, you know, a pretty disastrous way to start the season. And it had some, you know, fans pretty down on them. So you got to go at least 2-4, but I think 3-3 best. And, you know, if they happen to surprise us and go 4-2, that would be one of those things that could really get people excited for the season, I think, if they start 4-2. So that's the outlook on those out-of-conference games. Then they play a couple conference games. They play Canisius and Niagara, but then they go into 5 more out-of-conference games. So I want to take a look at those ones as well.
Do we know when the three-man weave drops their predictions?
No, but hopefully, I mean, we'll definitely be on
top
of that.
We'll definitely be on for that, but I'm curious, because last year, I mean, they were kind of upside down. I mean, I obviously predictions for a conference at the beginning of the year, which is, you like...
It's tough.
Popularly known as being very tough to predict, but I'm just curious if, like, how much value they put into last year, or, like, recruiting classes or everything.
So, we'll get into those next 5 out-of-conference games. So we got Holy Cross, which is, I think, a team that we owed a game, right, from the previous year. And William & Mary is another team we owed a game from the previous year.
But now
so.
We are going back down there, I remember.
Yeah.
Jay Young was very stingy about not wanting to go down.
Yeah. During last year especially, where the COVID restrictions were at their highest, and it just didn't make sense to go there, right? Mm. And I think they were trying to force the game, but, you know, now they are going down there. It's a bit of an interesting... I guess, do they bus there?
I mean, I guess.
Because that's kind of a hassle.
I can't imagine they take a plane. I mean, maybe,
probably
I guess.
Not. Probably not. I don't know, but it's...
I would imagine bus, but
it's tough on travel because they go on a Wednesday, they're playing at home. Then on Sunday, they're going down to Virginia, and then they have to come up by next Wednesday to Teaneck, New Jersey.
That's a tough stretch.
You know, not that it can't be done, but it's just not fun, probably. A lot of traveling.
The good thing is that, like, obviously, I've grown to learn that, like, Fairfield's record and obviously it matters because, like, we want to win, obviously, every game they play. But these out-of-conference games are more about
experience
and getting the right rotations down and all that.
Yeah, I just think you got to win.
Once going into conference play, that's when you're worried about.
Yeah, they don't necessarily affect the season too much, but I think you got to win some of these out-of-conference games to get people excited for the conference schedule.
Well, because, I mean, Fairfield's record, like, it was just ugly to look at. Like, watching them, seeing them be, well, what did they get up to? 0-5,
maybe?
5, I think, 0-6, whatever. But, I mean, what, they were 1-8, like, 1-7, 1-8. It's just, like, you don't want to be 1-8, 1-9 entering
And it's just, like, you know,
play.
If they can, you know... If they can win a healthy amount of those out-of-conference games, you might see Webster Bank Arena a little more crowded.
More people there because they're winning.
When it comes time to, you know, open up the conference against Manhattan on New Year's Eve or even, like, the Iona home game on January 2nd. Stuff like that might be a little more crowded if the team has a good record going into those games versus if they're, you know, 3-10 or something like that. So,
And, I mean, it's a pretty soft start to conference play, too. Outside of Iona, obviously, always tough games. Siena, you don't know how they're going to be with all their guys, a lot of guys leaving.
Marist actually has some high praise from some of the rankings so far. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But back to the out-of-conference, Holy Cross, William & Mary, Fairleigh Dickinson, UMass, Wagner. That's another one. That's a five-game stretch. I got us 3-2 in that stretch. I think.
You think they beat William & Mary? Like, who do you think the losses are?
I think Wagner is definitely a win.
Yeah, I think Wagner's a win as well.
I think we could beat Holy Cross at home. We did beat them a couple years ago in overtime.
Yeah, I remember that. But did we watch it together?
Yeah, I think we watched it in our dorm.
In the library, right?
No, in Claver,
oh,
I think.
Oh, really?
I think we were in Claver. I think that was the first win of the season that year or something
like
that.
That could have been.
But anyway, I think they win those two games, and then I think they take a third out of the William & Mary FDU UMass.
I don't know much
about William & Mary. FDU has been on-off like a tournament team.
Yeah,
but I feel like last year we should have beat them. So that's like,
and we got better this year. I mean, we got objectively better.
Yeah, and I do remember UMass. We had a close game against UMass our sophomore year where Landon had a three to win the game, but he missed it, and we lost. It was at Webster Bank. So, I mean, I don't know much about those teams, but I would just guess that we could take one out of those three.
I mean, one out of those three, considering we've played them close in past years, all three of them. I mean, even William & Mary,
Mary had that guy he's on the Bucks now.
Yeah, but even then,
or is he on Atlanta?
I don't remember. Atlanta.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, we didn't, like, get run out of the building when we played them with that guy.
I think we lost by, like, a healthy amount.
We lost by a healthy amount, but it wasn't, like, a
12, maybe.
It wasn't, like, Providence or whatever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Without that guy, we're similar in talent level to that team. But that guy was just a extreme case of being a NBA player.
Yeah, so we'll, we'll see how it goes. But that was my prediction. Did you make a prediction of those?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm probably pretty close to you. I would say
3-2, maybe?
I was going to say 2-3. I'll go on the more conservative side.
Yeah, so we're even on that one?
Yeah, 2-3, Holy Cross and Wagner, and maybe they'll take one of these three.
Yeah, so then we go into the conference schedule. We're not going to talk about a lot about that yet. I think we'll wait for some of those rankings to come out and kind of do a little dive into those other teams. Iona's obviously a favorite. They've had some transfers. They had, Quinn Slezinski from Louisville. Some good transfers, and they've been playing against pro teams all summer.
It's like a Power 5 team. It's like a Power 5 conference team playing at this point. Like, they're...
It's going to be like everyone against them. And yeah, we hate them as always. So, but they are the favorite. Casey Endefo's back for St. Peter's. That was a guy they didn't know if they were going to get back or not. That's a huge addition for them.
Big guy.
So St. Peter's will again be strong with him. Marist is getting a lot of love from early college basketball analysts. I know there's been some preseason rankings, or not necessarily like websites or anything, but just guys on Twitter
saying teams to watch, teams to
verified Twitter analysts with their rankings, and I know they have Marist up there high. Fairfield has also been up there though in some of those rankings. I've seen them at
three.
They
have to get some love after that run they had last year with everyone coming back. It's like, or almost everyone. I mean, you have to give them a little bit of love.
Yeah, I've seen them at 3-4, like around that area.
And that's
so,
the highest they've been kind of projected at since we've gotten here.
And that's like, no one's going to beat out Iona for that preseason ranking for the most part. So you're almost like at
you're
the top
for two.
of those yeah. teams. So, if you could, for the season, if you could somehow get up there and avoid having to play Iona until later on in the conference playoffs, that would be your best bet.
Yeah, I mean,
else knocks them off.
If you could be the 2 or 3, have that bye, and just pray someone gets hot for...
Because, I mean, it's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible for them to lose.
A team like Siena hasn't made it, and they had some really good teams the past couple of years.
Yeah,
so.
Siena's team was almost just as talented as Iona's last year, arguably. Like, they had some...
Maybe not that good.
Maybe that could... I mean, they could definitely have beaten them, and I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah. Maybe if Rick Pitino was coaching them.
Yeah, maybe it's all it is just the coaching.
But, we're going to hold off on, predictions for the league and stuff like that. We got a lot of shows to go, so we're going to hold off on that. One thing we didn't talk about that happened over the summer is James Johns joins the staff as a new coach for Fairfield. This is something I was kind of excited about because I did a little research on him. I remember I was telling you. But You know, he's a former AAU coach, and he's one of the only, or he is the only AAU coach to ever win a major championship with two different sneaker-sponsored teams. So he won with Team Final, which is a Nike team, and We Are One, an Under Armour team. That's a big deal. Those teams are
very competitive.
Like, and the AAU scene is, like, very competitive. There's a lot of money in it.
I mean, the way Troy Bradford talked about it, he made it seem like it took a lot to get his team to that peak of what he was at with all those guys. The way he talked about it was like he had a lot of talent on those teams. So to win those tournaments with two separate teams, like those kind of tournaments, it's a big it might not seem like it, but it's a big accomplishment.
And I looked at some of the alumni, not necessarily that he coached, but alumni that had gone through those ranks, and it was some
probably got some
pretty good
there.
Players. Yeah. So I don't remember now because it was back in the summer, but some pretty good players. He actually just won the team, the Nike Peach Jam Championship with Team Final. I think that was like what he did right before he signed with Fairfield. And the Peach Jam Championship is one of the top prizes in AAU, so it's really a big deal. So to have him, you know, I don't obviously know much about him, but that resume looks pretty good, yeah. And I'm excited to have him join. Obviously, we lost Pat Sellers. I think he took a job with, what was it, CCU, something like that. So, you know, we lose a coach, but we gain another good coach. So I'm excited about that. And he's another guy that, you know, I would like to have on the show at some point. I feel like it'd be cool to talk to him about his experiences with the AAU scene. So
it seems like it's hectic or like it's like
intense.
It's crazy intense, yeah.
Because people are really...
They're really into that.
That's really like, where you, like, make it, you know?
I mean, that's where AAU you start really as important. A coach. If you want to start coaching, you coach...
But also as a player, like, that's where you really make
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. So,
where you
yeah,
really get seen and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really
noticed,
important.
Go to college, hopefully get noticed by college, and rest is history.
Yeah, so I would love to get him on the show. He follows on Twitter, so we could probably reach out to him pretty easily. But, you know, that's really our kind of wrapping up the Fairfield basketball just like intro. And you know, do you have any final words on your outlook for the season? Your very early outlook of what you'd like to done or
last year. I think we were very too confident in the out of conference schedule last year. If I remember, we were predicting like way too good of records. So I'm just going to say now, if I am going to make a record prediction at some point, which we probably will,
Be more realistic.
I'm going to be very conservative with my numbers.
Yeah, I think we started... We grew a lot over our time podcasting last year. I think we were just very...
Excited. We got
excited,
a little too excited.
Yeah. And we saw some of those schools' names, and we were like, you know, they're not that good, but we got to realize that we're not necessarily like...
Yeah, we're not. We don't have that big school name either.
Yeah, so you see like a Hartford, and then that's a team that went to the tournament, right? But now they're... Didn't they move down to Division II or something?
They?
I think they did, but...
Oh, that's right. They did. I remember that.
You know, you see those teams, and we should have won those games, but we, you know, were predicting, like, an easy win for that. Stony Brook. You know, teams that were more so even with, we were kind of thinking we were a lot better than. I think we're more realistic this year.
But I think we've also gotten better this year, so maybe...
Yeah, so we'll see. My outlook, I think consistency is going to be really big this year, right? They were very inconsistent last year. They had some good games, but...
I mean, they were the kings of 1-1 splits.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of teams did that, but...
It was just
very inconsistent. I don't know. They were... It's not like they, like, start cold, get better. It was like they were good, bad. It's just, like, very inconsistent. And I hope that, you know, with every year that Jay Young's here, right, it becomes more and more his team. We even talked to Troy Bradford a little about that.
Yeah, because he...
He's a big fan of Jay Young. But with every year, it becomes more and more his team, and hopefully it grows more and more consistent. Obviously, scoring has always been the issue, so maybe we can get better at that this year. Different guys working on their games, guys like Maido getting more aggressive,
Supreme coming into their role. Supreme coming back for another year.
Yeah, so and then adding a guy like Makai Willis to that, you know, group of big men. It's going to be interesting, so... I'm excited.
And hopefully the three-point shooting continues to improve with, like, TJ Long coming in.
Yeah, and then you still got Wojcik.
Yeah.
And, you know, so... and I'd like to see...
our boy coming back.
Yeah, Jalen's back. I'm hoping that Caleb maybe gets a little more on the scoring side this year as well. So, yeah, we're excited. And that's just kind of like a general... I know we didn't go too deep into it, but...
go.
We'll do our whole thing.
We got a lot of shows to go.
A lot of shows. We definitely got to have the show where we like take a look at each player.
Yeah,
you know what we like.
Our player breakdowns.
So, yeah. Finally, our final segment before we get out of here. Actually, we don't get out of here. We have our other show right after this. But
we get out of this.
We get out of this realm, this world. Yeah. Our final thing is just an outlook for Red Sea Radio this season. So obviously we're seniors, so we really want to make this a good season, being our last season. So we definitely like to have more guests this year. I think we did maybe 5 interviews last year. So going to try to get that number up. I have a little list of different guests that I would potentially like to get on. One would be head coach Bill Currier of the baseball team. That would be very very interesting. We haven't interviewed anyone from the baseball team yet, so I feel like that would be a good interview. So I might reach out about that. Obviously, we're going to get Troy Bradford on here. I think the Cobras just DM'd us during this show and asked us when we'd like to have Coach Bradford on. So we could really do that sooner
Breaking
than later.
News.
So, yeah, so we'll do that soon, probably in the month of September, within the next few weeks. So that'll be one. Obviously, we got to have the trilogy episode with Matt Turner.
Of course.
A lot to talk about there. Chris Maito's a guy
Maito's
who...
another guy we've been targeting up.
We ran into Maito a few times the past couple weeks, and he basically told us he'd do the show. So we got to set that up, get him on there. Obviously, more basketball players as well. Definitely going to do more. We only did one last year, so definitely more basketball guys, some baseball guys as well. Said we'd like to get Justin on here. James Johns, we mentioned.
Maybe even some more basketball players. You never know.
Yeah, more basketball players. I know Zach Dayton just tweeted us the other day. He's very high up in the Fairfield Athletics department, so that would be cool to get him on here and talk about like the more business side of what he does there for Fairfield. Maybe even Joe DeSantis and Bob Huesler, who, you know, call the games for mm-hmm. Fairfield. I know, I forget who, someone was telling us to get them on. It might have even been Jay Young. So, got to follow through with that. And maybe our ultimate guest will be President Mark Nemec. And we'll talk about his experience with Fairfield sports. So, you know, if there's anyone you guys want us to interview, just reach out to us, DM us on Twitter or whatever. If there's any segments you want to see, you could always reach out to us and let us know. We're always down. I think the show is going to be a lot better this year. Not that it was bad last year, but I think we're really going to be on top of it this year and hopefully get a lot of good interviews and a lot of good Stags content for you guys. And hopefully we have a great year. Hopefully our sports teams win. And hopefully you enjoy the show. That's going to do it for us for today for our first episode of Season 2. But we'll be back. We're live Wednesdays, 2 p.m., 2 to 3 p.m., and we're always on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere else you can get your podcasts streaming. So with that, a good start to our senior year. Jack, any final words?
Go Stags.
Go Stags. That's how we always end it. I guess we'll keep it the same way. Tune in next week on WUF 88.5 FM. This has been Red Sea Radio, and as always, go Stags.